Well, it's good to see those of you who are back out with us this evening. We'll just make mention, the Adamses are out of town tonight as well. They will be back, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, okay. Want to talk with you just for a moment tonight about praying without ceasing. It's a couple of words that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. There are five simple words recorded. Rejoice always or evermore. Pray without ceasing. These two verses in Paul's conclusion to the letter, to the first letter of those at Thessalonica, are admonishing the Thessalonians on how to live according to the will of God. And in here, he's giving a lot of advice, a lot of simple, small phrases that will have them living God's will. And we talked this morning about the mind of God and understanding that that involves, or the mind of Christ, and that involves living the Christian life and knowing His will. And this is a part of it, praying without ceasing. When we read that, we might have some different thoughts that come to our mind. Like, really, is that what God wants me to do, to pray without ceasing? You know, we may even at times consider the question, is prayer important? We sometimes get into our own minds and decide that God's not listening and so it's not important. And we determine what is right and what's wrong. And then the question comes, how can we possibly pray without ceasing? Is Paul telling those at Thessalonica that every moment they're to be praying? Or what is really meant by praying without ceasing? You know, in order to answer such questions, we need to begin with really emphatically repeating that God wants us to pray without ceasing. Not only here do we find it, if you look in the book of Luke, and we won't take time to read these different passages, but if you want to jot them down, Christ on two separate parables shows the power of persistent prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10 is talking about the persistent friend, and the one that's maybe more familiar to us is the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul, as we've made mention, says pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17. But he also makes these statements in four different letters. To the letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. To the letter at those at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer. To those in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. And then to those in Philippi, in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication to God, let your requests be made known to Him or to God. And so we actually have Paul recording the admonishment to continually or steadfastly or pray without ceasing in five different letters that he wrote. You know, I remember as a kid in school, teachers warning us that if they mentioned it, it would probably be on a test. And then I remember going to college and sitting in Dr. Panter's Biology 101 class, and she warned us the first day of class. She said, if I mention it in class, you need to know. If I mention it twice in class, it's probably going to be on a test. And if I mention it three times, you can guarantee it will be on your next exam. The more times she would repeat it, the more importance she was placing upon whatever she was saying. And the more she wanted us to remember it and to study it and learn it. Now, as we look through the writings of Paul, we will find several themes overlapping between the churches. Each church has their own problems. Each church has their own needs. And he even tells them to share the letters with one another in several occasions. Read the letter that is coming to you from, and then names another city. But one thing that we see constant through most of the letters is this admonition to pray steadfastly, to pray without ceasing. And so Paul is putting a great deal of importance on it in that he's bringing it up to several of the New Testament churches. And as we are able to see all of these letters, have them all for us that we may understand the will of God, we see that the Holy Spirit has led Paul to repeat this on more than one occasion. And so there is great importance in praying without ceasing. And so I know this is going to sound like a daunting number, but I want to give you 13 reasons why we should pray without ceasing. Most of them are going to be grouped under one passage, and we're going to start, if you haven't guessed, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, we learn through Christ's teaching of prayer, through Paul's teaching of prayer, through what the Holy Spirit has given us, different reasons why we should be continually praying. Let's read verses 9 through 13 of Matthew chapter 6. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which, like the New American Standard, omits that last part that's in the King James and New King James. Here, in these short few verses, we find 5 of our 13 reasons. So let's start within verse 9. We pray without ceasing in order to praise God. Through prayer, we are able to praise God and to thank them for what he's done for us. Paul gives us another reason in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, when he talks about God who is more abundantly and able to do all this. Paul is reminding us why we should be praising God. Because God is able to do all of what he's mentioning in the book of Ephesians, of reconciling us, saving us, delivering us, adopting us, etc. And when we consider how God made this world and we look at the Psalms, how many of the Psalms are in praise to God, are bringing honor and glory to his name for what he's done, for the great works that he has wrought? And so through our continual prayer, we are able to praise God and give him honor and glory for what he's done, both as his creation and for us personally. We are able to praise him as our Father, as God Almighty, and thank him. We also find in verse 10 that we continually pray for God's will. Jesus taught us to pray for God's will to be done on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to especially wish and pray for God's will to come into the kingdom. That his rule, that his reign, that we would acknowledge his sovereignty and his decisions. You know, we don't pray anymore that your kingdom come, because the kingdom was established already. But what we can pray is that God's will be done on earth and be done inside his kingdom, his church. And pray that we are following his will. How many times have we prayed here publicly, men have prayed for us, that this congregation might do what God would have us to do? That we might be the people God wants us to be. That's all in following his will, that his will be done. Coming to verse 11, we find that through continual prayer, we are praying for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, when you drop down to the passage on worry later on in chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the same issue. He's talking about not being anxious because God will take care, if you'll let me use it that way. When your child, those of you who've had children, when your children were babies, how did they let you know that they needed food? Or how did they let you know that they needed their diaper changed? Or that they were sick? Did they just telepathically tell you? Was your intuition so good that you just knew without them crying out once? That child spoke to you, cried out to you, and you knew that they needed something. God knows that we have needs. We should be communicating with Him about what our needs are. When Jesus is telling those there at the Sermon on the Mount to be anxious, to not be anxious in the latter part of chapter 6, you need to remember that this is in the same context of how He's taught them to pray. And so, God will take care of them, but they're to be, remember Christ has told them to pray like this. They need to be talking to God about their needs. Coming to verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Through continual prayer, we are praying for forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I need a lot of forgiveness for the things that I've done and will still do because I'm not perfect. This is the avenue I have of asking my Father to forgive me. This is the avenue I have to talk with Him and ask for His assistance. John writes similarly in 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 through 10, if you want to jot that down to go with this one, or even Acts chapter 8 verse 22, when Peter tells Simon, repent and pray that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Bible teaches us that we forgive, we get forgiveness through prayer. That we pray for forgiveness and we find it through the blood of Christ. But that involves us communicating with our Heavenly Father. And then that fifth one that I mentioned, because we were getting five from this passage alone. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through continual prayer, we are praying for God's protection. Jesus taught us to pray for deliverance from the evil one. And as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as with common demand, but God is willing and able. He will provide a way of escape going on in that context. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God will protect, guide, guard us from temptation. And so we need to be looking to Him and speaking to Him to ask for that protection. Now come with me to Philippians chapter 4, where we mentioned just a moment ago. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Excuse me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In prayer, in constant prayer to God, we find peace of mind. Whenever you're anxious about something, worried about how something's going to work out, how good do you feel when the situation is over? You know, if I'm anxious about how a business meeting's going to go, and so I worry and I stress over it, and I'm a little nervous, and I go into the meeting, and I have the meeting, and I leave, I normally feel pretty good after it, right? Because it's over. What I thought was the hard part is over. And so I have peace of mind. What Paul is trying to get the Philippians to see and reminding them is that through constant prayer, through continual discussion with God, by casting our cares on God, our worries, our anxieties, He gives us that peace of mind. Some of the things we worry about, we have no control over. As much as we would like to be able to control everything in our lives, the reality is we cannot. And those types of issues, we can worry ourselves into a state of frenzy, my friends. And the only way we will find peace is through talking to God about it. And casting that care on Him. So come with me now to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in your inner being." Drop down to verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." In prayer to God, in constant prayer, consistent prayer, we find empowerment. As we work on earth, we will be tried by people. And what I mean by that is they are going to question why we do what we do. And they are going to question how we live the way we live. We find empowerment, or maybe I should better say boldness, strength, through that consistent communication with God. Knowing that we have talked with God about it, knowing that we have searched His Word, and knowing that we are standing firmly in what we believe. Notice what Paul said there in verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." The power of God inside us working to accomplish God's will and God's task. The next one you don't have to turn to, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul talks about a door being opened at Troas. In Colossians chapter 4, that's where I actually want you to go instead. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. As Paul is finishing his letter to those in Colossae, this is what he says, one of the that fourth paragraph from the end. He says, verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." That's where we looked at the beginning of the lesson, one of those five instances. Verse 3, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." Paul is asking those in Colossae to pray for opportunities. Y'all know my spelling's bad. To pray for opportunities. You know, sometimes I think we decide that people don't want the gospel anymore. We're the one who decides that no one's willing to talk to us about the gospel. And maybe that's because the people we've been asking aren't willing to talk to us. Part of the process of evangelism is praying about it. Is praying for opportunities. Is praying that God will open doors, will open the hearts of individuals to be receptive to His Word. And so as we work here on earth for the will of God, we need to be praying to God that He opens doors for us to be able to do His will. In Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 21, you don't have to turn, 23 through 31, the apostles there prayed, and similarly to the empowerment, prayed for boldness to speak the word of God. Paul did the same in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. He says, "And also for me, that my words may be, or that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." We are empowered in knowing that what we're doing is right, and we can be emboldened, have the boldness to stand and speak for God when it's not the most popular opinion. Notice, if you will, what James says in James chapter 1. There's a difference, my friends, in being bold and being brash. We can sometimes be bold to the point of where we overstep our bounds and misrepresent God. Notice what James talks about being promised through prayer in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." James is telling them that if they lack wisdom, ask God. Pray to God. For us to know how to use the empowerment we have, the boldness we have to speak for God in the right way, we need wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. When Solomon was presented with the choice of what he wished, which choice did he make? He asked for wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that God can give, that we cultivate through learning and through experience. But it is one of the most valuable tools we will ever have in our arsenal, is being wise to know what to say and when to say and how to say it, and what to do and when to do and how to do it. James, similarly, just at the end of the letter, talks about prayer again in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 and 16. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray one to another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We pray for healing, and that is not limited to physical healing, but also includes spiritual healing. When we are sick, we often covet the prayers of our brethren. That's why we have a prayer list here. That's why we get up and announce the sick of the congregation and those we might know, like Brother Michaels, who was mentioned tonight, like Josh Matzey down in Spring Hill, that we might pray that they be healed. But also when we are facing spiritual sickness, when we are facing a life burdened with sin, we pray for forgiveness that our soul might be healed. God's Word is able to do a great many things. But we have to pray for these different items. Two more. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, you don't have to turn there, Paul is establishing that God is in control. When talking about how to deal with government and different nations, just like Daniel shows in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, both of these texts are showing us that God is ultimately in control. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We need to pray for tranquility. If you haven't heard, there's an election in a few weeks. I'm sure most of you have not heard anything about that at all. That is, if you don't turn on a TV, turn on a radio, or pick up a newspaper, or drive in town and see all the signs everywhere. I'm kidding, of course. But we have an election coming up in a few weeks. And it's a very volatile election. And one side, or maybe both sides, are not going to be happy with the way things turn out. No matter who is elected in November, our prayer should stay the same. Because who is ultimately in control? God. We should pray for tranquility, that we might be able to live peaceably. That should be our prayer every day of every year, not just an election year, not just when things are as in turmoil as they are today. We should consistently be praying that we live peaceably among each other. And so then the finally actually goes back to Colossians chapter 4, where we read just a moment ago, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to be showing that we are examining what God has done for us and thanking Him for it. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We live in a society that may be doing a lot of wrong things. I'm not arguing that at all. But we live in a country where we're still able, as of now, to come together and to worship God freely. We have brethren across this planet that don't have that luxury. I mentioned this morning about gospel meetings. And I remember a brother from Africa who came to the States for a period of time. And they traveled to a gospel meeting 15 minutes away from the house he was staying. And he commented on the brethren in the area and said, "Oh, I bet this will be a very large meeting because there's so many brethren in the area." And he was sad to learn that brethren who lived maybe 10 minutes away would never go to that gospel meeting. And he said, "You in America have such a privilege. There they'll walk 3-4 hours every Sunday to be able to worship God. And we have the luxury to get into a car that's air conditioned and drive, some drive 5 minutes, some drive 20, to an air conditioned building to worship God. And we have opportunities normally throughout the year to go and hear His Word preached, to be encouraged by our brethren, and to in turn encourage them." He would love that opportunity. And we often take it for granted. There are so many different situations we should be thankful for. The homes that we have, the loved ones that we have, the times we can be together and share in each other's company. And too often, we take it for granted. We should be praying without ceasing, because that's how we thank God for what He's done for us and what He continues to do. Let me just make a few final points, and the lesson will be yours. How can we pray without ceasing? That's the question I think that we need to pose tonight. We see that God has told us in several occasions to pray without ceasing. We see that there's all these different reasons that we are to be praying. So how then do we pray without ceasing? Here's what a few different study Bibles have in the comment notes of that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The New King James Study Bible says, "It does not mean praying constantly, but it means being persistent and consistent with prayer." The New Living Translations Study Bible says it means not giving up. It does not mean praying at every moment. And the English Standard Study Bible says it suggests a mental attitude of prayerfulness, continual personal fellowship with God, and consciousness of being in His presence throughout each day. Can I tell you a Bible character that I think exemplifies what it means to pray without ceasing? Daniel. He had appointed times that he went to pray, as was his custom every day. And when the law changed, Daniel still went and prayed. Not only Daniel, though, but David made a regular habit of praying to God. He points that out in one of the Psalms, Psalm 55, I believe. He points it out of his custom, if you will, of praying. We need to be scheduling time. And I don't mean to make it seem like it's some robotic way, but we need to be in the custom of spending part of our day in prayer. Y'all know I've never had trouble finding things to speak about, finding ways to talk. But in case you might, there are so many different items on the board behind me. We're not told to cover all 13 of them in one prayer. We can pray to God, and maybe our prayer is centering around being thankful. Maybe it's centering around a need that we have, or that we might have some peace of mind. There are many different ways that we can pray to God. And there's one other thing I want to suggest, and then we'll wrap up the lesson. We need to be engaging in spontaneous prayer. Three instances I want you to write down. We're not going to look at them. In the Bible, you find a spontaneous prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20. The Israelites, in the heat of battle, prayed to the Lord for assistance. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. When he's been given this issue by the king, Nehemiah stops and prays to God with how to deal with the matter. And Acts chapter 16, verse 25, when Paul and Silas find themselves imprisoned, the scripture tells us they prayed to God and they were singing in their cell. These are all matters that we would call spontaneous prayer. Not planned, but maybe situational to what's going on. At any moment, we should be ready and willing to talk to God in prayer. We need to be praying without ceasing. It's part of our life as a Christian. It's part of living God's will. And there's so many things on this board that can help us in our walk, if we'll spend time in prayer with God. We have the privilege of prayer that the Hebrew writer tells us has been made possible by Christ. We have a mediator, a high priest who sympathizes with us. And we have that avenue of fellowship, of prayer, of discussion with God. These are some points I wanted us to consider as we look at our lives as a Christian. How is your faith going? How is your communication with God? In 90%, and I made up that statistic like most are, in 90% of business problems, the problem is communication. More times than not, problems come because of a lack of communication. May it not be so in our relationship with God. Tonight we have an opportunity for any who may need to come to God to become His child this evening. And we also have an opportunity for any who may have strayed from His will to come back to Him, be restored, be renewed, to find forgiveness from God, to find healing from whatever problems are in our life. And so if we can help you this evening, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.